All right, so we are, I figured we'd cover something in Shin Yadalad and then skip towards the end. I don't think we're actually going to completely finish before Behemoth Tahara tonight. We won't. But we'll get started on that last little section of why we sort of avoid all of this today. But Simon Shin Yadalad has its own interesting details here, and that is on page 1 of the source sheet. It says Hakohanim chashudim lahatil mum bebuchor mifnei sheyesh lahem bo tereach gadol letapel bo ad sheyamus. That Kohanim are chashud lahatil mum bebuchor, that we are concerned that the Kohanim, that they might do their own that they might do their own mum, because it's such a pain in the neck to keep these animals around. So because of that, so they might be a little too anxious to create that mum. So therefore, if he shows up and says, "Hey, look at my animal," looks and it has a mum on it, so he actually needs Edom to indicate that he did not do it himself. That he did not. We don't trust him that it just came on its own. He needs some kind of evidence that it came from elsewhere. So Vafilu, and the Torah adds, Vafilu imaya chacham v'yoshiv yeshiva, even if he's a Talmud chacham and a guy sitting in yeshiva, im asa davar shenira kimarim, kigon shenasal v'chor seorim b'sal, b'inyin shekashiyavu l'achla nifkam s'faso, if he did something that looks like he might be trying to get away around this issue. For example, he puts barley in a basket in a way that if it eats from that basket, like a wicker basket, where if the animal eats from it, it could be that that it will cut its lip, okiyotze, or something like that. Ein l'shochto al oso mum. So that mum is not acceptable to allow shechita to take place. Lefichach kol mum sheroi lavu bidei adam, ein shochto noso alav ad sheidu bo shemi'atzmu nafal bo. So therefore, any mum that is roi to come from a person, you can't shecht based on it until there is testimony that it came by itself. So this is it seems to also be another major exception to the general principles that we have, right? Generally speaking, people are believed with regards to what they say happened. If a person is, Shomer Shabbos and a Yiri Shemayim and all that, so we don't assume that there were problems. We assume we take them at their word. And here, even they come and they give their word, so it's not acceptable. Why is that? And then furthermore than that, not only do we not accept anyone's word, we don't even accept people who are considered Talmidei Chachamim, people are considered to be extra pious, we don't even accept their words. That is what the Torah says. So where is this? So presumably the issue is because, well, we're concerned. It really is a challenge to do this, to keep these animals around. And, another phone. Okay, it really is a challenge to keep these animals around, and we're concerned that people are going to slide, and even a big Talmud Chacham, it seems like we're even concerned with him in some form of low plug. Okay. So. All right. Anyways, fine. So the. So the Shulchan Aruch here, so where does this come from? So the Beis Yosef there on the top left, so it says, yeah, Beper Kol Psuli HaMikdashim, this is a Gemara, Meferish in a Gemara in Bechoros, Laman Hey, and it continues on, even if he's a Talmud Chacham. So that's from the Uvda of Rabbi Tzadok, Umaskana de Rabbi Gamliel. And that is from the story of Rabbi Tzadok and the conclusion of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, the lo chilkenu bein chaver lamaaretz v'hachi asikna nami bitzof yuman. And that is based on the story of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. So guys, could you mute over there, please?
That me?
Yeah.
Okay, before my phone you couldn't hear me at all, so I switched to a different phone.
Uh-huh.
Which I didn't know whether it was working or not. Uh-oh. I guess he's calling.
Yeah,
he's calling you.
Okay. So the...
can you call me on my phone?
So So this Gemara happens to be a pretty prominent Gemara. This story comes up and actually has major historical ramifications, this story here. So let's take a look at that. So the Gemara appears on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph in Maseches Bechoros, and I put it, that's page number 2. He just quotes it in an ancillary way, but historically this is important, this plays an important role. So this is at the end of that Mishnah. So it tells the story of this Rebbe Tzadok, so Havali Bukhra. So he had a Bukhur. So this is where do we give the landmarks on this? So where'd he go? So Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Tzadok Havali Bukhra. So Rabbi Tzadok is about 8 lines above where it becomes wider. Next to Tosos, Heyachachai, Yachul Hachish.
What's that line? Yeah.
Yeah, so Rabbi Tzadok Havali Bukhra, so he had a Bukhor. So Rabbi Tzadok had a Bukhor. Now, Rabbi Tzadok happened to be a Kohen. So Ramale Sare, so he put barley in front of it. Bisale Nisare Kaile Aruba Arava Kalufa. So it was in a basket of peeled willows. That's what it was. So Bahade Tekaachlitz, while it was eating, Ibza Sifse, so its lips split open, right, and therefore that's considered Imun. So now Asal Kamid Rabbi Yeshua, so he came, Rabbi Tzadu comes and asks Rabbi Yeshua, I have a shayla. So Amar Lei, Klum Chalkenu Bein Chaver Lama Aretz. He says, do we distinguish between a Chaver and an Amma Aretz? So an Amma Aretz is a regular Joe, regular Shomer Shabbos from Guy. And a Chaver is somebody who's considered to be extra pious. So Rabbi Tzadok apparently is considered to be extra pious. And he says, look, I know that we don't generally accept people's word that the animal happens to, that got a mum on its own, but maybe you can make an exception for me because, you know me. And I'm a good guy. So yes, Rabbi Yeshua. So that question. Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua, hein. Rabbi Yeshua said, we could make that distinction. So also l'kami to Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Tzadok then goes to Rabbi Gamliel. Amar lo, he says, chilkanu bein chaver la ama aretz. And yes, Rabbi Gamliel, do we distinguish between a chaver and ama aretz? So Amar lo, Rabbi Gamliel, no. So this becomes one of the big machlokas in between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Gamliel was the person that was the Nasi, and Rabbi Yeshua was a big Talmud Chacham who came to Shir but was not considered to be, he didn't have money, and he, etc. So Amar Lei, Vaha Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Lei Hate. So now Rabbi Tzadok says, Rabbi Yeshua said that there could be a distinction. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Gamliel says, Hamtin Ad Sheyolu Bali Treason LeBeis HaMedrash. He says, wait until the Bali Treason, the shield bearers, come to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis Medrash. Just incidentally, yesterday I was with this Rav Asher Weiss conclave, and Rav Shechter was there also. So somebody asked a question about that if Gedolim come out with certain psakim that you don't agree with, so how do you deal with it? Even if you disagree, but whatever. So Rav Shechter's immediate reaction was, well, you just promote what you say. You don't have to push back on others. You just promote what you say. And he quoted from Rav Kook that the Tanayim are often known as the Bali Treason, the shield bearers. They weren't the dagger men. They weren't the people who were walking around stabbing people. They were just defending their own opinion. And that's why they're referred to as Bali Treason as opposed to any other weapon. So anyways, so Kevin Shiniflasu Beis Medrash. So now they come into the Beis Medrash. Amar Hashol Vishal. So Rabbi Tzadok gets up and asks, Klum Chilaknu Bein Chaver Lamaretz. So we distinguish between a Chaver and an Amaretz when it comes to this din. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no. So I don't know if that means somebody tipped him off that there was going to be an issue here, or what exactly caused Rabbi Yeshua to change his mind. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. So Amar Lo Gamliel, Valo Bishimcha, Amar Lo Hein. He says, Rabbi Gamliel says, oh, not so fast, Rabbi Yeshua. Nice try, but I heard that you said yes. So Yeshua, Amar Araglecha. So Yeshua, stand up. So Ve'idu Bacha, and let them testify against you. So Rabbi Yeshua got up on his feet, and he said, Hey Achese, he said, what should I do? Imalei Ani Chai V'hu Meis. If I was alive and Rabbi Tzadok was dead, so I could deny what happened. Yachla Chai L'Hachish Es Ameis. Because the living can deny what the dead people claimed against them. But Achshav Shani Chai V'hu Chai, I'm alive, he's alive. How could I contradict that which he, the living, is also saying? So what can I do? I have to confess that I made that psak, that in theory a chaver would be believed, but I have to retract it. So Vahaya Rabbi Gamliel, Yoshe Vidoresh, Rabbi Gamliel continued to sit and darshan, and Rabbi Yeshua omid al raglav. So apparently this is like a big protocol thing going on here. Right, that Rabbi Yeshua had to stand, and apparently Rabbi Gamliel has to give Rabbi Yeshua permission to sit, right? He has to say, at ease, as Rabbi Cohn would say, right? So at ease. So apparently he never said at ease to Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua is left standing there and, like, can't do anything. So ad shirinenu kol ha'am, until everybody was murmuring, like, what's going on? He's embarrassing Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi luchutzbin amaturgaman, amod va'amad. Right, stop, and he stopped, meaning it sounds like he, like the people made such a commotion that they forced either Rabbi Yeshua to sit down, or they forced amaturgaman to stop teaching, or something like that. So, and that's the end of the Gemara. That's the end of the story. Now, that is the end of the story of Maseches Bechoros. However, this story appears, this issue between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua ultimately comes to a head famously in the fourth paragraph of Maseches Brachos. I say famously because, I don't know, that's the first Gemara we learned in sixth grade, so I guess it's famously. But that is the story between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, where, of course, Rabbi Gamliel, where the people are, Rabbi Gamliel stands for his kavod a few times on various things, and essentially the same story happens there with a different matter, with the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. There it happens to be the issue, it's a Gemara and Brachos, so the issue happens to be whether Marav is considered a Rishus or not. So Rabbi Yeshua held it was a Rishus, and Rabbi Gamliel held it was a Chova. So somebody came and asked Rabbi Gamliel a question about it. Is it a chover or a rishus? And Rabbi Gamliel says, why? Does anybody hold that it's a rishus? And this person said, well, I don't know, Rabbi Yeshua does. And Rabbi Gamliel pulled the same stunt when Rabbi Yeshua came in. Right? He made Rabbi Yeshua say something, and Rabbi Yeshua denied it, and Rabbi Gamliel called him on it, and he made Rabbi Yeshua continue to stand. And that was ultimately the final straw in that the people there rebelled against Rabbi Gamliel because of his poor treatment of Rabbi Yeshua, and that's what leads ultimately to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah becomes the Nasi, and there's the story there about how there were so few people in Yeshiva, Rabbi Gamliel was there, and now a lot more people came because Rabbi Gamliel used to have a tough entrance exam. He had guards by the door, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah removed the guards, and they added all these benches, and ultimately I think Rabbi Gamliel was able to get his job back after he does tshuva, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also maintains, and they share the story there. So that was the final straw. This was the second to final straw. Fine. What is interesting here, though, is the reason I'm invoking it's not just for the historical context, but how do we paskin in the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel? So how do we paskin? So the Gemara in Brachos, the machlokas there is between Rabbi Yeshua says Tfilas Arvis Rishus, and Rabbi Gamliel holds that it is a chova. And there, Rabbi Gamliel says, what's going on? Rabbi Yeshua, what do you say? Rabbi Yeshua claims to have changed his mind. And therefore they say, he says chova, Rabbi Gamliel says chova. And how do we paskin? We actually paskin tefilas arvis rishus. However, in this Gemara has the same exact pattern. Rabbi Yeshua says that a chaver is believed. Rabbi Yeshua says a chaver is believed. Rabbi Gamliel says they're not. Rabbi Yeshua says openly that they're not. Rabbi Gamliel calls him on it. Rabbi Yeshua gives in and says, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll go by you. We'll go by you, the Nasi. And how do we paskin in this Gemara? So in this Gemara, it seems across the board that we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Now, there is a major exception on that daf. If you look at Tosfos, Heyachachai Yachol Ahachachachai, so there Tosfos says, Kolomar, Savor Hayiti Lahalim, Ve'eni Yachol, right? I wanted to hide it, but I was unable to. Uvukutras Perish, Devadai Kachamarti V'chazartibi. He says, yeah, I said it, but I backed out, meaning I retracted my statement, and I don't hold that way. But comes Tosos and says, V.F. Sharkane. He says, but that can't be. Right? The Perek Tfilas HaShachar, Pasak Sham, Halacha Kamoso. Because in Tfilas HaShachar, in Brachos, there, the pas that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. So to just say that when he got up in front of Rabbi Gamliel and said, I back down, right? So it's in the Gemara in Brachos, he didn't back down. We end up passing like Rabbi Yeshua. So why here do we paskin across the board like Rabbi Gamliel? Right? Why here do we accept Rabbi Gamliel's position? And the truth is, you go through the, and it's a little unclear. I mean, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Gamliel. The Rush passes like Rabbi Gamliel. The Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, they pass like Rabbi Gamliel. Now, I think there might have been something in the Rush. In the Rush, there was... he passes like Rabbi Gamliel. He brings up that there is a Gemara in the end of Maseches Yuma that maybe indicates this way. Although the truth is, I thought about bringing in that Gemara also, but the truth is, there are ways of saying that, and that's later Amoraim, seemingly indicating that we pass like Rabbi Gamliel. However, that case is not exactly the same case. That case might be talking about Meiser Behemos, and even if it's talking about Bechoros, might be talking about a slightly different case. So it is a little bit unclear. I think the only reason, and the truth is, no say Kalim on the Rambam, don't say anything, they just say, yeah, we pass like Rabbi Gamliel in this case. So why is it that in this case we pass like Rabbi Gamliel, while the Gemara and Brachos who paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua? So I thought maybe the answer is that this story, how long apart were they, right? So there was a period of time, right? This story happens first. The story in Bechoros happens first. And the story in Bechoros is, Rabbi Gamliel says, we paskin that there's no difference. Rabbi Yehoshua says there was, but then he backs down. And what happens after this story happens in Bechoros? Everybody goes home. And then there's a couple of months when the psak is like Rabbi Gamliel, right? If Rabbi Gamliel says, we're going to paskin one way, and Rabbi Yeshua says, you're right, I give in, let's paskin like you. So everybody's going to paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, right? That's the psak. That's the bottom line. So therefore, that psak had a chance to be Mekayim, right? That psak had a chance to be established as holding Rabbi Gamliel, and that was actually the practice. As opposed to the Mariv issue about whether it's a Rishus or whether it's a Chova, so that was what led to the rebellion. So Rabbi Gamliel says it's a Chova, Rabbi Yeshua says a Rishus, Rabbi Gamliel says, oh yeah, Rabbi Yeshua says, all right, fine, I changed my mind, let's make it a Chova, but that's what caused the rebellion, right? The very next day or very soon after, the rebellion took place. So there was never a chance for the psak to be established like Rabbi Gamliel. So perhaps that's the reason why in Bechoros we pass on like Rabbi Gamliel, while the Gemara in Brachos and Amariv, we paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. Okay? And that is then borne out here in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Shin Yudalid, it says, HaKohanim chashudim lahatil mum bebuchor, v'afilu im hu chacham v'yoshiv v'yeshiva, right, im asei davar shinira kemarim, if he does something that looks like he might have been trying to get around the issue, k'yon shenasim lebuchor sa'orim, besal, be'inyin shekishyavu l'acham yivkam s'faso, like, for example, he used a basket that might cause a cuts, if they got cuts, okiyotzi b'zer, something like that, ein l'shachto al oso amum, so don't shecht based off of that mum, you gotta keep it around until it gets a full-fledged, certified, triple star mum, right? As the Rambam, lofi hakomum sheroi lavu b'di'adam, ein shochten oso alav, ad she'idu shemi'atzmo nafal bo, right? Until there's testimony that that came on its own. Now, Bayes continues on and says, by the way, there is an interesting machlokas as to whether this applied even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Apparently, a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ma'arit al-Ghazi. I saw in a footnote, right, that the Rambam holds that this was only an issue after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because what's the motivating factor for the Rambam here? Right, the Rambam's motivation is... According to the Rambam, the Kohen's motivation is to say, I got this animal, it's stuck in my property, it's walking around, it's ugly, I got to make sure not to shear its wool, right? It keeps eating all day, and I can't have it work, and it's just taking up space, right? So therefore he wants it to have a mum already, as opposed to if the Beis HaMikdash was standing, so the Kohen has an easy way to resolve this issue. What could he do? He offers it as a korban, right? He offers it as a korban, and it doesn't mean that he even loses the meat, right? If you offer it as a korban, so some of the fats goes on Mizbeach, and the Kohen gets the rest. So the Kohen is barely losing anything by going and offering it in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Rambam says that this whole takana about not accepting the Kohen's testimony about the mum of the Bechor, that was only after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not Bechor. By the Ma'arit al-Ghazi, and the Ma'arit al-Ghazi was a commentator, appears in the back of the Maseches Bechoros, so the Ma'arit al-Ghazi says, nope, not true. He says it was always an issue. The Kohen has an interest in not having to offer it as a korban. A, he doesn't have to worry about bringing any of it on the Mizbeach. And there is a loss. So therefore, because there is a loss, the Kohen is suspect. I would add in as well that this all works very well. You know, oh yeah, just what's the big deal? Go and offer it as a korban. Yeah, that works very well if the Kohen lives in Yerushalayim. But if the Kohen lives in Yehopetzville someplace, right? The Kohen lives in Gaza. Right, so it's not so easy getting the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, maybe that might be another reason why the Ma'arit al-Ghazi would say that this is an old takana that even existed during the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. One more little machlokas here. In Beis, it says any mum that is roi lavu bidi adam neman the roe is believed for it, to say that it came on its own, meaning every day you drop the animal off at the at the daycare, right, at the shepherd, right? So the shepherd every day, right, like when a mom drops off their child, so every day you go pick up your child, right, and you quickly look the child up and down, right, to see if their clothing is dirty and if anything happened to them, right? So every day you go and you pick up the bechor from the shepherd, and one day the shepherd says, it got caught on something, and I think it might have a mum kavua, right? So is that shepherd believed to say that it happened on its own, or are we concerned that maybe the shepherd himself may have caused the mum? So the Shulchan Aruch here says that the roa is believed for that. Naflu v'lo nasu b'kavana v'yishchad aleim. Right, we can check based off of the word of the shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd has nothing to gain, right? The shepherd actually has what to lose, because he's going to lose a client, right? He had this animal coming every day, and now he's going to lose his client. So if he mentions it, so he'd be believed. But then the Shulchan Aruch, if it was a regular Yisrael roa, and the Bechor belongs to the Kohen, about ima yaharoa Kohen, v'abuchor adayin hu biyad bailov, but if the shepherd was a Kohen, and the Bechor was still in the hands of the Baal, who's a Yisrael, Hareza is not believed. Why? Because the Kohen does have an interest in having the mum, because the Yisrael still has to give it to a Kohen. So therefore, the Kohen is going to say, oh yeah, the mum happened on its own, you're supposed to give that to a Kohen, hint, hint, right? And, you gave the pinyon haben to the other Kohen. You said the next time you have a Bechor, it would come to me. Just saying, right? So therefore, he is chashud, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins that he would not be believed to say that it came on its own if he happens to be a Kohen. So, however, the Rama says, V'yesh Ovno, the Roa Kohen Neman, that he is believed, Abachor Shel Yisrael, V'yesh Lahakil. And you have the right to be Makil on that. The Shach here says, V'yesh Omrim, right, the Losh Chayshina Shehitil Bo, K'dishit Nenulo, that we're not concerned that he created the Mum. The Stam Roim Amaritain, because most shepherds are Amaritain, right? Umeimar, Amar lo shavik tsurba mirabanan v'yayiv lididi, and no shepherd will think that he's going to be honored with getting the bechor. So it's interesting. Apparently, like that was considered a kibud, right? To give to which kohen are you going to give the bechor to? People would like to give the bechor to some to a tzaddik kohen, but the shepherd's a lower level kohen. So the shepherd, he doesn't think he's... What are the chances that he's going to be the one chosen to get the Bechor anyways? So therefore, it's not considered to be that he has a conflict of interest. And therefore, according to the Ramah, he would be believed. And the Ramah therefore says that one has the right to be Mekel to rely on that opinion. Okay, so that is the whole Choshesh, whether they're believed. Why is Bechor the exception to the rule? It probably is just because there's so much money involved, or maybe some kind of low plug involved, and therefore they're not believed. But it is an odd halacha, because I don't really know of in any other case, really, where a person, we do not accept their ne'emanus. There might be sometimes when it might not be good enough, right, where you might require more than one aid or something like that, but that we don't accept their ne'emanus at all is a little bit odd. I mean, this sounds like it should be something that aid achad ne'eman bisurim, right? One aid should be believed, and that should be that. But apparently, this is an exception to the rule.
But there's a lot of money involved, and there are a lot of bechorim. I mean, that's probably it's a pretty common situation, right? I mean, like it's one out of every 10 sheep of Bechor, or one out of 15 sheep? I don't know. But so there's a lot of them.
The last sugya you want to cover here is the Bob Barker sugya, help control the Bechor population. Have your animals traded or partnered. So there was an effort made at some point to stop this, to not have so many around. How many were there in the past? I don't know. What were there tricks that were done? So maybe there were, because already we see. So if we skip ahead to Simon Shin Chaf, so I only put on one page from Shin Chaf, but the Shin Chaf begins by saying Kohanim Levim Chayim B'Chor B'Hu B'Tahora, right? V'Yifrishu HaKohen V'Verim. Okay, one second here. So if we go to the page of Shulchan Aruch, which is a little bit later, on Shin Chaf, so there it says Behima Shutfin is Chayev B'Chor, that's Beis. Shutfin Ha'ovi Kochavim Pater. But if you have a partnership with a non-Jew, you are Pater. Now, truth is, there was a different that I wanted to, that's not on the source sheet, but just you raised it. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, there, in Shimon. Where is it? Essentially that you have the right to make a mum on the animal before it comes out. Oh, it's right above. That if you, at the end of Simon Shin Yud Gimel, so on page 3 of the source sheet, we were on page, Simon Shin Yud Dalid. If you go one above, right, Simon Shin Yud Gimel, Sif Zayin, so the halacha is, Mutter lahatil mum bebechor bizman hazeh, kodam shiyatza la'avyar olam. That it is permissible to impose a mum on the bechor nowadays before it comes into the world. So if you could figure out a way to get inside the womb of the animal and put a mum on it, then so it is not yet chayiv in bechor, right? It's not yet a bechor, so therefore it's not a peter rechim yet. So there's no kedusha there, right? And then when it comes out, it will have a mum. So that is mutter, and it seems like that was done. Now he adds in bizman hazeh, right? Nowadays. In fact, what does the Gra there say? Rosh Parakeh de Tamura, right? Nowadays, why nowadays? Because nowadays there's not really a mitzvah's asay anymore when it comes to Bechor. It's really just an aspect of it being a Bechor and being usser, right? Being Kodesh and being usser. But there's no asay of bringing it as the Ad the Mizbeach, right? So therefore, that's why Bizman Hazeh, it might be Mutter. So that's one way of getting around this whole issue. Meaning, if you could get a mum onto the animal, and it sounds like it's mutter even to create the mum yourself and put it onto the animal, that would be one way of dealing it. However,
there must have been a big trade in that. There must be a lot of veterinarians that specialize in this.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like an issue, and it sounds like there may have been enough of it that there was an economic liability.
I mean, look, if it's being offered as a korban, it's not that big of a deal. But if you got to wait around for it to become a mum, right, so that is an issue. So that was one way of avoiding the issue. But the bigger way of avoiding the issue then appears in Shin Chaf Sif Vav. So if we take a look here in the tour, so Shin Chaf Sif Vav, do I have what I put up? One page? Page Nun Zion or Nun Vav? Both? Nun Vav and I think
Nun Vav?
And Nun Zion, yeah.
And Nun Zion, yes.
So Nun Vav on the bottom of Nun on the bottom of Nun Vav in the tour. So he says Bizman Hazeh Mitzvah L'Shatef Im Hagoy. Right, the mitzvah is to partner with a guy, right? Ba'azno V'Chiyotzibo. Like to give the guy, you have ownership of the ear or something like that. Kodem Shiyatzal La'avir Olam, before the animal is born. So if you could create a way for the animal to be for a guy to own part of the animal before it's born, so then you're off the hook. Why? Even though you've removed its kedusha, hachi adiv tfei. This is better. Kedeshalo yavo lidei michshol. So that it won't lead to a michshol. It won't lead to a stumbling block. Lihanos mimenu begizu va'avoda. V'mikne legoy ozen ha'uver ein hakinyan chal. He says, however, if you just sell to the guy the ear. So that doesn't work because that's you know because the uver is not in the world, right? It's still that's a davar shelo bal yolam by etzarcha chaknos lo ozen ha'im. What you really need to do is sell the ear of the mom shahaya ba'olam kedei liknos ozen ha'uver in order to then buy the ear of the uber. The ein hakol mekiva zeh, not everybody's an expert on this. L'chach tov yosir, the better thing is l'chaknos lo ozen ha'im shehi ba'olam, just to sell the ear of the mom, and apparently that should be enough. Perishim yiknu lo ha'im kedei liknos ozen ha'uber yavo litos v'yiknu lo ozen ha'uber l'chut. People are going to end up only buying the uber, so therefore you got to buy the mom, and apparently that's enough to then demonstrate that you have acquired the animal as well. Now the details of this kinyan, I want to hold off till next week. Right, this kinyan is this is actually how we. This is probably the biggest, the most halachic l'maisa discussion of how we do mechiras chametz b'zman hazeh. Right, this is the clearest demonstration of a sale taking place between a Jew and a guy when you don't have something present. Meaning, you got to sell the animal that's not born yet. So, how can you make a kinyan on that animal when you don't actually have the animal's not yet b'olam, as it's pointing out, and B, you don't have it. You can't make a maisa kinyan on that animal, and it has to be a kinyan that's working on a level of doraisa. So that's the same issue by chametz, right? To sell chametz to a guy, right? To go and give him take a bottle of schnapps and sell it to a guy in exchange for $10, right? So you give him the bottle and you take the $10 back, so you don't need a rabbi to do that on your behalf, right? That's fine. That's a kinyan. What makes mechiras chametz complicated is that it's chametz that you don't have in front of you. It's chametz that's still in people's houses and in their closets and in their cars and in their books and being eaten by their dogs and cats, right? So the problem is you don't have all that, right? The guy isn't going around and picking up all that chametz in order to make a maisa kinyan on it. So therefore, you have to be creative as to how that maisa kinyan is made, right? So this is actually the basis for that. We're going to save that for next week. What I want to just cover tonight is Rav Schachter's Ha'ara, based on the Gemara towards the beginning of Mechoros, because the Gemara asks, why is this okay? So if you go back to the previous page of the Torah, so he quotes there for the Gemara in the beginning of Mechoros, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, right, the Beis Yosef says, Garsinan Rav Mari Bar Rachel Havulei Chiyusa Hava Makni Adunaihu Legayim Kolo Chiyusa Derav Mari, that he, one second here, that Rav Mari Bar Rachel had some flocks of animals, and have a makna l'udnaihu l'obei kochavim, and he would transfer the ownership of the ears of the firstborn to the gayim in order that they wanted to be chayvim b'chor. V'asar luhu begizav avoda, but he nevertheless, right, prohibited them for Giza and Avoda, right? He wouldn't work them and he wouldn't shear them. V'yayiv lehu l'kohanim, he gave them to Kohanim, right? Uchloi chivasa d'rav mari barachel. But in the end, his animals died. So Gemara says, wait a second. V'chimiachar da'asel lehu b'giza v'avoda v'yayiv lehu l'kohanim, amai maknehu l'adunayu olav v'kohanim. He says, wait a second. If he was doing it anyways, meaning if he was prohibiting the shearing of the animal and he was giving it to Kohanim, so what was the point of giving it, of selling it to a guy? He says, well, Dilma Asib Hu Li De Takala. It will lead to some kind of problem. So the Gemara says, if so, my time of Kaluchi Vasadar of Mari, why did all the animals die? He says, Mishum de Mafkaluhu Mikdusha Saihu. Because he removed Kedusha from them. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, if I'm Rav Yehuda, Mutul Ad Mahata Mumbuchor Kodum Shiyatzal Avir Olam. Well, we know that you're allowed to do this before it goes into the world. You're allowed to make a mum in the animal while it's still in the womb of the mother. To which he says, well, Hasa Mikdushas Mizbeach Kamafkale. He says, well, yeah, there, by creating the mum, he's removing it from Kedusha of the Mizbeach. Mikdushas Kohen Lo Mafkale. But he didn't remove it from being Kadosh to the Kohanim. Right? Because then it's just going to be a mum of a bechor that's going to be given to Kohanim. But here, even the Kohen isn't going to get any of it. By selling it to a guy, that's you're even removing it from the possibility of a Kohen. Or you could say that Ramari Barachel Yadalak Duli Kinyan Gamer, Vachazilei Inish Achrini Vazal Vavid. He says, or we were concerned that he could make a Kinyan, but other people would see him, and they would try to do the same thing. And they'll say, the Savar of Mari Milsahu Da'avid, they'll say, Rav Mari did it. Vasi Ba'li De Tekala, that's going to lead to a problem, because not everybody really knows how to do these sales. So we had two concerns with, so Rav Mari used to do this kinyan, he used to do this sale, and we had two problems with it. One of them is that he seems to be removing it from the Kedusha of the Kohen. Meaning, if it only has a mum in it, it still goes to a Kohen. If he has a partner in it, a partner with a non-Jew, so it doesn't go to the Kohen, right? It's just his, right? So that's one thing. And number two is that we were concerned that people would copy his form of way of doing a Kinyan, and they would do it wrong, and that would lead to a mistake. So just fundamentally here, so what, at the end of the day, are we okay with him or not okay with him? I mean, what does the Gemara want us to do based on this Gemara? Does it want us to try to do the sale or not? So according to the first answer, it seems it does not, right? Because you're removing it even from being able to be given to a Kohen. And answer number two, he says, well, we're concerned that people aren't going to know how to do the right Kinyan. Okay, well, then, like, you know, have a rabbi do it or something like that, in which case, maybe we'll be able to be a little bit more successful. So how do we come out on this? So so remember, it said, right, the Torah begins by saying that nowadays the mitzvah is to do the shituf, right, to do this. So why is that then okay? So the Beis Yosef says, about eight lines after it gets wide on page Nun Zayin, Tosos talks about it, the Rush talks about it, it started from there. The first skinny line. It says V'chasu atosus v'arash umash regilin achshav liknos legay afapisha nenash Rav Mari. So nowadays we do exactly what Rav Mari got punished for. So Rabbeinu Tam says the ihu nenash afisha hayam makna legay ozen ha'uver atzmo. But he got punished because he actually sold the ear of the uber itself. V'ikavka beguf ha'uver. Aval imakna legoy ozen ha'aim in chashash oneshadar. He says, and that would be a problem, meaning to sell, he didn't do it right, right? But if you sell the mother, so that ear of the mother, so then that's better. Fine. And if you say, but wait a second, we learn later on that Rabbi Yehuda, right, the Kamar Efsha Karav Yehuda, Amailo Eshkach Takana, Sheyikna legoy be most, the Bahalika Shum Onesh. Why, according to Rav Yehuda, why did we not find a takana that we should give it to a guy? Bimos, the moms, the baha, therefore there won't be a punishment. Veishlomar, we say, well, came into chashash takala yesh latakin below hafkas kohen. He says, well, because we have a concern that there will be a big problem. And we're fixing the takala, we're fixing the big problem. Below hafkas kohen, kid Rav Yehuda, lo ratzu latakin shiyasu ade hafka. Umiyu e avad v'ein onesh bedavar. He says, so mean, you could potentially give it to him, but if you did it, so there's not going to be a punishment. I mean, nowadays, because our main concern is to avoid a takala, to avoid a disaster of this animal walking around, so there's more room to be makel. Or you could add on, v'od yishlom b'mei Rav Mari, sh'hayu b'kiyin lasos k'd Rav Yehuda, l'hatil mum b'b'chor, kodim sh'yatzel avir olam. When it came to Rav Yehuda, they were experts in being able to do that, and therefore, you weren't allowed to do the hafka. You weren't allowed to remove it. But nowadays, where people don't necessarily know how to get inside the womb of the animal in order to create a mum, so what can you do? We're left doing the sale. Meaning, Rav Mari in the Gemara, right? He should have just done the mum thing. He should have got inside and done the mum and got and been able to give it to the kohen still. But nowadays, where you know we're not such experts in being able to do that, so therefore we just go with selling it to the guy because we don't have the possibility of doing so. So this actually forms the basis for one of Rav Schechter's more prominent articles in Be'ikvei Hatzon. So in Be'ikvei Hatzon, in the beginning of where did my Be'ikvei Hatzon go? Right here, somewhere.
On page 6 of the handouts.
Yeah. Where? Oh, there it is. So this is actually the article is actually entitled "Likutim Binyane Hamoados." Right, some points with regards to holidays. So the first thing is, you think you're going to have something about the various holidays of the year, and right away he jumps into a gemara in the beginning of Bechoros about Rav Mari's, about the ear of Rav Mari's calf. Right, so he quotes that gemara, and that picks up here that Afal Pi Shenenash Rav Mari, he's quoting from Tosfos here, right? Rishon Tosfos Masha'in Nis Harim Achshav. Afal Pishane Nash Rav Mari, even though Rav Mari was there, be Mayor Rav Mari, Hayubikian Lahatil Mum, because at the time of Rav Mari they were experts in creating the Mum, Babuchor, Kodim Shiyatzal Yolam, Usar Lasos Aide Havka. So therefore they weren't allowed to remove the obligation, meaning you should do the Mum. But nowadays, the Lobakim Bekach, we're not experts. The Mutav Lahaknos Lakum, better to sell to a non Jew before it comes into the world and causes disasters. Kolomar, as if to say, nowadays, tachlis haramahu bichdei shalo lavor al iser giza vavoda. Meaning, what is the concern here? The concern is to do things to actively avoid being chayiv in a mitzvah. Right? So the mitzvah was to observe b'chor and give it to a kohen, and you're doing something to avoid the mitzvah. That's a problem. That's what we call haramah b'mitzvos, and that's a problem. But if your effort is only being made to avoid a prohibition, so then it becomes okay, right? Harama b'isurim mishrashari, right? Harama to avoid being in a situation where you're going to be chayiv a prohibition, that's mutter. V'dafka harama b'mitzvos hudasar. It's only positive mitzvos you're not allowed to attempt to avoid. The sof nishar hu b'li ki mitzvah, plus you're going to be left without a mitzvah. As opposed to isurim, t'chol she'enu over al isurim, ye be'eza ofen she'ye b'hachi sagilan. He says, yeah, so you won't violate an isser. So, okay, so who cares how you didn't violate the Isser? If you didn't violate the Isser because you just didn't do it, or you didn't violate the Isser because you created some kind of way to avoid being in that situation, right? So it doesn't matter. That would be, there's no different amount of schar that you're going to get. So this big footnote here on the bottom is, interestingly enough, I was actually speaking with a friend of mine who was saying how, you know, like Rav Schechter doesn't like quoting Maharals. Like, go find me a Maharal. So I opened it up and I'm like, look at that, right on the page. The Maharal and Gur Aryeh. So he said that Maharal doesn't count. Gur Aryeh doesn't count. He was talking about deeper Maharal books. But anyways, but he quotes from the Maharal in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Vayigash, right? Sha'avos koda matan Torah lo kaimu el ha'asin. And we talk about the avos during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and keeping the Torah, really, it was only about them keeping the mitzvahs ases, right? Velonis haru b'lavim, they weren't necessarily makbid on the lavim, like Yaakov, right? Right? That he's nadei v'toras eino mitzuvav osa, right? Because how are they keeping the Torah? They are keeping the Torah in a way of they're not commanded to do it, and they're doing it anyways. So ein lo mashmos el b'kiyumi ase. The whole idea of doing a mitzvah as an eno mitzvah va'osa, right? You're not commanded in it and you're doing it anyways. That only makes sense if it's something you're doing, if it's a mitzvah asay. But if it's a los asay, it doesn't make sense, right? But you serve the whole sheino over, right? Hareza heter gamur, right? Whatever you're not violating is mutter, right? So what does it matter that the, right? You're not getting schar for it. You just, so if the Torah was never commanded, if you're not commanded in a prohibition, so then there's nothing wrong with doing it. Right, v'chein ke yad yishdeya ba'achronim, right, she ha-mesim la'achar t'chia yisharu p'tur min ha-mitzvos. That the idea that potentially mesim, the people that die after t'chia sa-mesim, right, they're still going to remain putter from, those that come back to life are going to be putter mitzvos. But even so, they could still do mitzvahs aseis. It's only the lot aseis that are not going to be chayven. V'chein yishdeya shekzub yishon shemitzvahs chinuch leisa el benugeya lasin v'lo benugeya leisurim. There's also an opinion that you could say that the mitzvah of chinuch that a parent has for the child is really only about mitzvahs aseis, not for los aseis, because you're trying to get them to do things as opposed to in a way of an eino mitzvah v'osa. He adds in on the left side, the left column, is one other idea along these lines with regards to, let's not go there. Now, Rav Shechter then takes this and says, aha, right? And this actually, now he applies this to Yontif. This is his famous thing where he talks about Mechiras Chametz, right? So is Mechiras Chametz, is that harama, right? Are you avoiding a mitzvah by selling your Chametz? So, well, let's think about it. What mitzvah? The los asay is to have chametz, but there's a mitzvah's asay of tashbisu. So Shechter here says, "Val pizeh, right? Pshuto hayanira, right? The zeu yisod lemin hagenu limkor es chametz. This is the yisod, the principle of selling chametz. The mishi yeshal chametz be'erev pesach yeshal lavchi of asay shel tashbisu. That if you have chametz on erev pesach, you have a mitzvah of tashbisu. The garment, even if you don't burn it, eschemtzo mivod yom, hare yavor belav debal yirah val yimatzah. Right? If you didn't burn it the day before, right? Hare, you're gonna, if you don't burn it that day, right? You're going to violate bal yirah val yimatzah. So what's our minhag? Ein anu mochrim es kol chametz sheyesh lanu. So what do? We just don't sell all of our chametz. We sell 99. El rak tishim v'teisha achuz mimenu. We sell 99% of our chametz. V'achuz echer mashirim lisrof. And what's that extra percentage point? That's what we set aside to burn on Erev Pesach, right? We normally do that. That's like you take whatever is left over from the Dikas Chametz, right? So you sell everything, and then you have 1% left. That 1% that you have left, that is what you need to burn. V'nimsa shebein ko v'ko, right? Mekayimin l'mitzvahs asei tashbisu. So therefore, you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, right? Asher l'chora gidra. What is the gidra of getting rid of your chametz? La'aved es kol ha'chametz sheyesh lo b'rshusu b'tchilas shas isuro. To get rid of all chametz you have in your possession. Uveinim yesh lo ma'at chametz, whether you have a little bit or whether you have a lot of chametz, you fulfilled your mitzvah. Right, so what you do is you sell 99%, and whatever the amount that you have left over, that's the amount that you burn. So it's not therefore the sale is not getting around any mitzvah. It's it's removing your chametz, and now all you have is a little bit of chametz. But that little bit of chametz, A, you could fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, and you'll avoid val yirah val yimatzeh on all of that. Now he goes on to say that that's why he believes that the sale of chametz should take place before the burning of the chametz. A lot of rabbis don't do this, but that is his recommendation, to sell the chametz earlier in the day and then burn the chametz afterwards, because that way you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu with the small amount of chametz that one has left. So that is the recommendation here in the Shulchan Aruch. He lays out exactly what the how it gets set up. You see there are some massive Piskei Tshuvos on this, because this did actually have to get done back in the day, and it is recognized that this is used for other things as well, like for Pesach. So Be'ezer Hashem, we'll get to that next week, and maybe even move on to Peter Chamor as well next week. Okay, Yeshukur, we'll stop here.